That's our intention. We've asked the provincial premier as well as the MEC of finance in the hometown to intervene in those policies. Chairperson, that's the update with regard to this process. We've committed ourselves to give this house a proper report once we've done, and the intention is also to have a proper meeting with ESCOM, with all the other stakeholders. Some of the lessons that we've learned, I think, can be very helpful, and we'll try to articulate these lessons that we've learned in the report so that the committee can also note that, but also help us to implement some of those things that's beyond the treasury's control. Thanks, Chairperson.
Thank you very much, John and Wendy, for the presentation. And as usual, remember, the treasury presentation is quite very clear. And I would like you to comment on issues that have been raised, starting from the first presentation, Wendy, and Professor Mutara.
Chairperson, thank you.
Marshall, I just want to continue here. I like determination. That bother you. And Mr. Lingen, okay. And Isaac, Mitlani, don't you want to comment on what, didn't you? Okay, you are on to something else, different from this meeting. Okay. No. Then you'll be out of time. Okay. Charles.
Chairperson, no, thank you very much. Thank you for Treasury to update us with fresh information. We are here with a provincial mandate. Referring to the issue of limit transport, Chairperson, looking at the research document that was circulated to us on limit transport, page 8, an analysis of limit transport expenditure as on the 31st of December 2014. I think it's very crucial that we call this department to appear before us, because my province has a small figure of 8% spending. I'm just sensitizing that we will have to engage with that department. Then, Chairperson, I gave a document to Mrs. Spanu referring to a letter from the Premier's office to the Director General regarding funding for the establishment of a Provincial Planning Commission. I take this as step one. I gave the document and they can deal with it through their processes. I also requested the researcher to do an analysis of the other provinces. What are those provinces doing in terms of a planning commission and funding? So that is future music. The other point is, Chairperson, regarding to the division of revenue, and I also spoke to the Treasury about this, it comes from the provincial week, what we did. It's a request for funding for bulk water supply for the Jonkawi Gautseni district municipality in the Northern Cape. I've got the document here, to be treated in the same way as the Pisik Gautseni district municipality in the Northern Cape and Namakwa district municipality. If you look at the funding that was already allocated in the division of revenue, the latest being Sansibaka in Tamsheni municipality. And then lastly, Chairperson, referring to the municipal support program on finance, referring to Mr. Jan Hartung. Mr. Hartung is a walking encyclopedia. I saw it in front of him, that we acknowledge the value he's adding to his work he's doing at the National Treasury and also to Mr. Fano. Mafareng municipality is in the province, 73 kilometers from Kimberley. We call it Warrenton. And there's a formal request that I table today, Chairperson, for assistance from the National Treasury in the way the assisting comes back and other municipalities on financial management. That municipality's entire dire stretch was under administration in 1998 and came out of that distressed situation by means of good financial management and good governance. But they're back where they were in 1998, so I'm taking this formal request, Chair. Thank you.
Thank you, and let me thank Treasury for their responses to all our recommendations. I think it's encouraging to note that they're working on all of the recommendations that the committee made. And I think we'll be interested to see when the minister tables the MTPS, how they affect it, because that's really where we'll get a sense of whether they take into consideration what we say, if they update into the MTPS. Just on, I want to speak to the issue, you know, Bendy says that there are many conditional grants. I've even forgotten the number, she said 37. Yeah, so just for local government, and we did, and the just focusing on local government and the debt, municipal debt, or money owed to local government. I think the problem is very, I know here that you said we must get all the role players, you mentioned COGTA, National Treasury, DALGA, to be able to come together so that they get together and address the issue, agree on how they're going to address the issue. But some of these problems are even beyond the role players that you've listed. I want to use an example of basic education, not speaking on the scholar transport policy. There are some schools that get grants to pay for services, and they are supposed to pay whatever amount is towards two municipalities. I hate this conversation. Yeah. Wonderful. Esa keeps moving in. I move from the Pura and now. I'm thinking. Okay, through you, Chair. Can I address the rest of Treasury through you, Chair? Schools get grants to pay for services, but they are not paying for services, and that money gets used up somewhere else, and they aren't accounting for it. And we did through just ordinary constituency work in my constituency. This is what we found. Now, in Gauteng, what they've done, and I don't know what legal framework they've used to be able to do this, is provincial treasury has ring-fenced grant funding that's supposed to pay for municipal services, and they pay municipality directly. They don't give it to the various departments, for instance, Department of Education. They pay the municipality directly. So it doesn't go to the school, for the school to pay the service. Now, and the point that I'm making is that municipalities are owed millions and billions, but it's not just the role players that on the surface that we think. Because you can take anybody who accesses a service, the clinic, for example, or provincial hospital that accesses a service from the municipality, but it's not servicing that debt to the municipality. And if municipalities rely on income through selling of services, the municipalities are really in deep crisis. So in addressing the municipal or money owed to municipalities, I think there needs to be a more holistic but a very detailed approach and breakdown. Maybe something that other select committees can deal with, and maybe at a later stage we can ourselves zoom into each and every, that's going to take a lot of work, but each and every grant, how that grant is actually spent, is it, and maybe something that can be looked at from National Treasury side is to using that framework that the accounting process has used. If it is within the legal, the confines of the law and it's fine, that other provinces do the same. That those grants do not go to the departments, but are ring-fenced in the provinces' treasury and paid directly to municipalities. So you will then come away from withholding of municipal of money from municipalities. So the reality is when you withhold money from municipalities, it's the end user, it's the ordinary citizen that suffers because municipalities aren't able to provide services. I don't know if whether the National Treasury can either comment on that or if they're able to comment on what Gauteng has done. We'll of course only be able to see the results of what they've done because it's a new intervention, the results of what they've done in the next financial year, whether what they've done is actually yielding any type of result. And whether it can be duplicated, and if national, what is national basis responsibility towards being to enable provinces to be able to do that as well. Okay.
Thanks,
Sarah,
Honorable
Leader. Thanks, Honorable Chairperson. It's no use looking at you, you're not looking at us when we're talking to you. It went both ways, you know. Chair, I'm actually highly appreciating the presentations this morning, especially the figures quoted by Mr. Hassan, because when we were with the provincial league in the Eastern Cape, the software department indicated that 759 million had been paid as to municipalities in the 2015 financial year, and that a further 82 million was paid over in this current financial year, in March and April. However, that means we're not sure whether that was outstanding debt, because the first sentence in the presentation says outstanding debt payments were facilitated by COFTA, etc., etc., and then the amounts were given. So we couldn't pinpoint them on that amount. The scary bit is that when COFTA then, not COFTA, when SELDA then addressed the provincial delegation, they said that 198 million was still outstanding on the 31st of March by national and provincial government owed to local government. To this day, I could not get out of the province what funds, what the intergovernmental debt was at the last financial year and the government department, but also on the 30th of June, the end of the municipal financial year. And that is the critical thing that we need to know. Then the priority creditors. I'm so glad that South actually stepped forward, because when we had the case of the pension fund money being deducted from the municipality and not paid over to the insurers, the MPA ruled in our municipality in COFA that the pension funds deducted must be treated as a priority creditor like SARS. So municipalities are actually fully aware of the fact that SARS and the pension money that they deduct is a priority. And I remember from last time that we were told, I think by Mr. Hutton, that they were going to investigate which municipalities or what funds the municipalities were using for pension funds, and I'd like to have some progress on that. Today's facts and figures on the Eskom debt and the municipalities that have signed and so on would really be helpful, even if it's just a progress report, because it's very necessary. You know, we scribble fast, but we listening to the next story coming through, and one is more important than the other. So some of those facts or a fact sheet would be very helpful. then the land issue is a very big thing in local government. And when we had the budget vote debate, Public Works told us that 90 or 99% of their property has now had a municipal value added to the particular properties. The problem that we have with that, and that's what I asked at the time, is how many of these properties have actually been identified. And what Mr. Harding has now said is very worrying, that we are right. We are not sure which properties actually belongs to who, and who's responsible for the payment of the tax on it. And then lastly, we now have a demarcation process coming. And that demarcation process is not part of the budget. So when we asked the Minister of Finance, he first of all, we spoke two things with him. We spoke nuclear, and he said you can't budget for nothing that's not on, that's not realistic or that's not part of the program. Then we asked him about this, and he said no, he can't budget for that, although in Dora I think it's 139 million for KZN and Gauteng. But to amalgamate a municipality with another is a very complicated matter, because that's now grant something that you're pulling, it's like getting married. And when we did the oversight, the debt with the municipalities were told, first of all by the province, that, oh no, we'll give you, this was a Joe Bobby municipality, we will give you, by from the province, 110 million, and in the next financial year we will give you 130 million. So the municipalities were quite comfortable that they can pay the debt out of this grant funding. Then the one MPL that was with us from the legislature said no, but that is grant specific funding. You cannot use it to pay your debt. Municipalities are still supposed to pay their debt. Now, I want to know where this fits into the picture, and how that grant reshuffle is going to be operated and protected, and make sure that municipalities are responsible for their debt, because it is really a worrying problem. Thank you, Chairperson.
Again, Isaac.
Thank you, Chairperson. Try and continue. I want to say I enjoyed through you, Chairperson, the last part of your presentation, when you particularly explained the issues in Free State and looked at the Chairperson in the eye. It was brilliantly done. Through you again, Mr. Chairperson. Chairperson, mine is not a very long, protracted issue. I just want to on slide 2, through you, Chairperson, to Wendy, that is that presentation, and I heard you giving a detailed explanation about the unfunded mandate. Now, common sense prevails. I mean, how are unfunded mandates, how do these unfunded mandates happen when surely I would think, it's part of IDP, like municipalities have in place, and planning, and your budget. And then halfway through the financial year, or quarter way through the financial year, you have millions of unfunded mandates, whether it's Ruby inclined, or if it's a disaster management issue, then there's disaster management funds for that. So these unfunded mandates, I think we need to get, our hands around that. Because it's already creating a huge problem. I won't go into the ring-fencing issue. I think my colleague, Honorable Motara, covered that. I wanted to expand on it, but I think she covered that, so I won't duplicate that. And then on your slide 4, on the recommendation for human settlement conditional grant site, please, just for clarity, if you can
you know, when I read your third bullet on slide 4, and I'll quickly go through it for you a little bit. National Treasury has proposed that the Human Settlements Development Grant be reviewed as an extension of the review of local government infrastructure grants that is already underway. It's a bit of a jawbreaker. But then you have the issue of developer grant and capacity grant, and perhaps you just, you know, in simple English, you should summarize exactly what you were saying for the period. Recommendation 5, municipal debt, let's talk about talks, yeah. And then, yeah, as far as what issue is dealt with in detail. Thank you, Chairperson.
Thanks so much, Chairperson. if you check where I was accredited, yeah. You know, my colleagues touched quite a few things. I was discussing with Honorable Isaac here on most of the issues that were touched by Honorable Lutala, especially the issue of these bills that are being given to municipalities. Cause for serious concern, of course. And it has become a norm, year in and year out. Nothing is happening. We just keep on singing one song that municipalities are being owed, but nothing seems to be, you know, coming to the fore with regard to assisting the tech. And recently we attended a provincial week whereby these major concerns were raised at the Port Legislature. Some were even saying, you say municipalities are being owed millions, but even if you give them these millions, they're doing nothing with these millions. When the AG goes there and takes their books, you find out they get address, and if not address, they get the same as. And of course, it's a worrying factor. So, up until maybe it led to an agreement by the PDA itself, who said we realize that most of the municipalities cannot fight for themselves. And even when they get the money, they do nothing with those monies. They decided not to disperse all those monies to various municipalities. I'm happy that you touched the issue of the grant, about the grant that you give to municipalities. And the premier himself has decided to, you know, put that money together. And the municipality should go to him before they spend that money and say, we want to spend a certain amount of money for this project. My question to Treasury is that there wouldn't be, you know, the right thing if maybe if provincial departments were maybe to, you know, talk to you before they could spend this money. Today, municipality X wants to spend this. Because that's where we experience a lot of problems of misappropriation of funds. Where funds are embezzled and, you know, in the end, nothing happens to those who embezzle those funds. They get away with it. Even though they are not just, you know, not disclaimers and address. So a proposal was that, you know, based on facts that were actually raised during this provincial week, one municipality happened to have operated for more than 3 years without MM, and two major positions, municipal manager and the other one for, the CFO. So we were surprised, how was this operating? It means any person who felt like spending a chunk, you know, would just say, I want this in my apartment, and that was that. And when we check all the money that were embezzled, a total of 106 million within the space of 6 months. It was for this reason why we said, we are tired of room oversight, and when we come back to Parliament, nothing happens. It is going to be better that we come together as committees. We do an in-depth check of exactly how do we best assist these municipalities. Even government departments. You know, one other one is, you find that there are more money, 70% of the money allocated for projects, you know, they are not spent. So, it was for this reason why somebody decided that they should at least make sure before they could divest all those monies. Municipalities should account and say, this is what we're going to do. So I think Treasury, I think you can do the same with the other departments. Because every year, we experience this kind of a thing very fine, but 70% of the money has not been spent. And to add more salt to this wound, you find that all the departments, they spend more money on salaries. And I think even the incentives is during the Lukuta. This is becoming a worrying factor that they are doing less when it comes to projects, but they are spending more on salaries. And that may even lead to not providing more jobs in the next 6 months or so. So, I mean, in the next 3 years. So I think President has got a lot of work to do, make sure that he scrutinize this. And then my last question would be, would it be possible for you to maybe before you could get those funds appropriated to municipalities, at least I don't know if there could be any law that will cover you, that you check that municipality X is being owed a certain amount of money by local government, and then before that big chunk of money could be be transferred to a particular department, you deduct what is owed to municipality X, and then you indicate in your report that this was supposed to come to you, but because they've not been paying for X number of years, we decided to pay it on your behalf. I don't know if that can be possible. Thank you, Chair.
Thanks, Honorable Mdilin. I'm just worried when you say you are tired of oversight when you just completed your first year of the first term. So you should not be tired. You should. before I give to Rajarit response.
The question is
just one thing. The sentence Mr. Honorable McLennan said, we come here, we do oversight and nothing happens. The point is that the Finance and Appropriations Committee came up with a proposal in a strategic planning session of the NCOP that there be a tracking mechanism on the solutions taken by the two committees. But not only us as Finance Appropriations, all committees of Parliament must have a tracking mechanism as you are reporting as Treasury back today on the resolutions we take. And that's where we must be effective. I just want to give that clarity. Because this must happen in all committees, what we are doing today. Because the Treasury is coming back again to report. Mr. Hartman will again come back on this situation of the visible share. So I just want to give that clarity. The thing doesn't stop here. Thank you.
Thanks, members. Just before you respond, Winnie and John, on the, there's been members have raised comments on the conditional grant. I know that we, in our oversight, the upcoming oversight will be dedicating some attention on some of the conditional grants. But the important thing would be to focus on these conditional grants that really matters on the basic services. And we need the relationship to strengthen, I think, our coordination with Treasure to pinpoint on these conditional grants. Which these conditional grants should not escape the attention of the committee of appropriations and finance when we do our conditional. I think we need to help us to achieve this objective. There are others more, which more like additional support and so forth, but it's important to look at them, but I think we need to package this one that should not get our attention. And also, my observation during the past week, although we are not discussing it in the system of a provincial week, is that even on the equitable share, it appears that there is no understanding how the formula works in the municipalities. You may say that, but it appears that the discussion mostly, or maybe there is, I think the point I'm making is that lack of understanding on how the formula works, and also in our last presentation when we were discussing the formula, you said that something important that there will be ongoing refinement. And the discussion between SALGA and National Treasury will continue. So it will be important. I'm just simply raising it I'm happy with how Treasury confronts the discussion with the provinces and municipalities. I think we have said we need to point out on this issue, even limitation on how we budget in huge inconsistencies on the budget. On the Free State, what could be the reason why Free State municipalities are lagging so behind from the rest of others on the issue of ECOM when you apply the same approach to provinces? Just to understand the underlying factors maybe be important. Thanks. Okay, thanks, Jan. It's you and Wendy.
It's
always
nice. Part of the questions were raised, so I'll take some and Jan will take also some of the others. If we accidentally omit the answer, please just ask us again and because it could have accidentally missed one as well. With regard to the issues that Honourable Adair has raised, with regard to the query on the Provincial Planning Commission, currently what we've determined, we haven't determined much actually at this stage, except that the planning function resides generally with the Office of the Premier. And we don't have specific non-items that would say this is how the planning is actually conceded and where there's a planning commission and how the planning commission is established and how much funding is provided in that regard. So the only thing we can say is that it is funded in the Office of the Premier's office. Either a planning function that is not a commission or otherwise through a commission. So what National Treasury will need to do is we'll need to contact all the provincial treasuries and ask them for more detailed information in this regard. So what we can do is we can submit reports in this regard to the committee as soon as we've done that research as well. And I think it will also be useful for the researchers then to take that information up. And if any further information then is needed, we can then see how we can do it. With regard to the request for the funding for bulk water, what we can do from our side is we'll forward it to our relevant public finance officials as well as the Department of Water, Affairs and Sanitation that's responsible for the administration of what we call the regional bulk infrastructure grant, which funds during the bulk infrastructure. So it will be considered as part of the 2016 budget process. Having said that, of course, it does not mean or guarantee that funding will be made available. But maybe one thing that I could also highlight here, we had a meeting yesterday also with a number of departments, and one of the things that currently taking place is that there's quite a bit of a tense between the Department of Water Affairs as well as the Department of Cooperative Governance through NIFA. It's actually to try to stop getting some alignment in terms of what should be funded in the municipal space. Because to some extent what is happening is that work has been done by the Department of Water Affairs, work is done by the infrastructure agency at DECOC, and there's not necessarily alignment between, for example, the water and sanitation projects that's coming before. So they're piloting, and it's also the president is also part of this process. They started piloting in two district municipalities, then a process to actually get an overarching municipal infrastructure plan on what is required to be funded in terms of then to link up also the value chain, because what is currently happening in certain cases, the reticulation is done but the bulk is not there, or the bulk is there but the reticulation is not there, and then try to get more collaboration between the local departments to play in the municipal stuff. So transport will also be involved, energy will also be involved. And it takes quite a bit of time eventually to do. They're going to pilots, but they say as soon as they have done these pilots, they would actually learn how to do it better. And the whole idea is in the end to pilot in the 27 district municipalities. And then sit down with the municipalities concerned as well to actually agree on a common vision on what needs to be funded. So hopefully it will get also a bit of alignment between the water funding that are made available through various sources. So this is ongoing work. Then with regard to the municipalities, it's very young. The issue is basically what can happen to you to put, but you will be with that one. Then with regard to the lessons learned in Gauteng, Jan will be with that one and the debt supply. Then with regard to the demarcation process, and what the demarcation board has recently done is now indicate out of the regional lists that they put forward the ones that they will further investigate, and the intention is to have an answer ready around most probably in August, a little August around there, which is now. So we're waiting what further announcements they will make of this regard. But maybe just to highlight a bit further on what the Minister of Finance indicated, and a bit of a challenge that we're going to have, and maybe Jan can also touch on this issue, is why does we only allocate for Staple 1 year and not for the other year? Keep in mind that for now we've got municipalities that touch it in way of the current municipalities. But when the re-demarcation happens, two municipalities will become one, or a conglomeration of municipalities will become. So what needs to happen is that the transition funding will be made available for 3 years, but it will be transferred to the newly established municipalities. I'm talking about the ones where the old ones, not the new ones that's currently on the table. So what we're going to have a bit of a challenge with, and it will be quite a big challenge for municipalities. What we will need to do between now and either the 2016 Division of Revenue Bill or the 2017 Division of Revenue Bill, we will need to change all the allocations or the names of the municipalities that change. And municipalities will then, in terms of the financial year, because they only change their budget from 1 July to 1 July. So they will have to run their books in terms of either the old municipality or that to the new municipality. And it will be determined whether the demarcation or election they face before 1 July, say 2016, or after 1 July 2016. And the period it will take for them to run either in terms of the new municipalities or the old municipalities. And it's going to, we're going to have transition provisions. So the type of support provided then is going to be quite important. So the transition grant is intended to help with some of those type of reconfigurations. Then with regard to the new ones, that we can't make pronouncements of things we don't know. But if there's new ones that are coming to the fore, a transition grant will also be considered. But what's important, again, is that it will not be new money in the system. Currently, we're working within an existing baseline. So it will mean that another grant will have to sacrifice to make that money available. So it will be in a balanced budget. So hopefully, at the time of the MCBPS, the demarcation board would have made the announcement, and we will also be able to provide more information in that regard. But it's going to be a tough period, and I think what could be also quite important is for Parliament seeing whether that municipal chamber, for the committee also to actually have a bit of oversight there to ensure that the relevant role players, and largely the provincial coffers, whether they actually provide sufficient support, but young and the provincial chair also got support role. So that will be quite critical in the process. Then with regard to the unfunded mandates, how does it happen? If I need to put it into three groups, I will put it largely into some historical legacy issues, where things change but the situation remains the same to some extent. And a very good example of that one is municipal health. Where municipal health, in terms of the 1996 constitution, municipal health used to be, or and before the Health Act came along, municipal health used to be a municipal health function, and it was quite a big function in metropolitan areas and even in some secondary cities, where they provided extensive services and the like. So when the legislation was changed and that became then largely a provincial function, the municipalities still continued providing that. And in certain cases, the provinces took the function over, but particularly in the metropolitan areas, that issue remained like a vague area, and the metro continued providing in those areas, and it wasn't necessarily fully taken over by the provinces either. So you could argue that's a blurry issue, so it's a legacy issue. And there's a number of legacy issues in the system as well. I mean, electricity is converse, municipal provision is another historical legacy issue, which is quite tricky to deal with. Then you start what we would call where functioning is a provincial function, but a municipality performs on behalf of a, of another sphere. And a very good example there would be ambulance service. Where does the money then go missing or is insufficient? Because if you provide a service on behalf of someone else, the province still remains the county officer and the municipality to some extent goes to half on the province. So they must find what we call an agency agreement or an MOU. And in that MOU, the funding issues should be dealt with. And often the concern is that the funding decisions are more inefficient. So that's the second one where you could argue that this is unfunded merit come in. And then the third one, and I'm going to be slightly controversial here, is the second. And for example, if you put in place new legislation or new regulations or new processes for municipalities to perform a function, can't you argue that if you provide the service in terms of the required standards, that won't be seen as a challenge? So what is forcing you or what is forcing the municipality to do is to provide against what is actually required from them in the end. So for example, one of them was that cell phone lock raising, I'm sure Jan would love to give you things there as well. They would say that the new NSCOA that introduced is unfunded mandate. But it's just really like the way that municipalities used to put together the books and how they record their activities, and it actually will help them if they provide it correctly. It will help them to see the true cost of providing a service. So that when they determine the tariff, it's appropriately as a talk example. So some of the things are already seen. The unfunded mandate is actually to their benefit if they provide it correctly. Then with regard to the query on what do we mean with real taxes, capacity and settlement, capacity building grants and human settlement, development grants and the real responsible government infrastructure review. Maybe the first point that's important is that the Human Settlement Development Capacity Building Grant was established when the Human Settlement Assignment was still on the table. And it was money made available specifically to gear up those municipalities to take on the human settlement function. But since then, human settlement has taken a bit of a different approach. So the question that we need to ask is the grant for a project? Or not. How do we need to restructure it going forward? Yeah. So that's why we will take it up as part of the local government and infrastructure review grant. That's one of the grants that we will review. Then with regard to the human settlement development grant, again, what is quite important here is that the human settlement development grant is a provincial grant. It's not a local government grant. But the reason why we want to take it up as part of the link to a local government infrastructure grant is because of the link between the province and city metro that provides the housing function. And although we require the provincial departments to give their allocations of how much of that money they're going to transfer to the metros when they provide housing services, what we picked up is that it's not necessarily sufficient because in certain cases the money is being transferred very late And in other cases, what happens is that the funds that have actually been provided for catered for is very insufficient in terms of the needs of the mental health. So, so it needs to have a bit of a consideration there as well. Then the specific program, that's Jan's question. Jan's question again on the MS and GFO and that. And then Then a question on what grants do you think should the committee focus on? What is quite useful from the municipal side? Most probably not to look at grants individually, but to look at it as a collective of grants. And particularly municipal state, what would be quite useful is to look at the water grant in the system, and it includes the 3 or 4 grants that at water repair, and also the next grant that does with it, and then the committee's very brave also that you tackle the electricity grant. Because all of those are actually with in collaboration with each other. And actually to see just what it means, how do these grants complement each other and work together rather than working against each other. So they support the more the 27 district municipalities where water provision and service delivery is very important. Think possibly also on the urban space, what would be quite important is again to look at the human settlements development grant and the urban settlements development grant together. And actually also see how they interact. Together also with the public health grant as a collective. Because the question that we need to answer is how do we create integrated human settlements? Is it the house? Or is it the corridor, the part of the corridor that's really the most important? And that will be quite useful. On the provincial side, to say, not just the grants that directly service delivery is driven are actually functioning quite fine. The school nutrition program is well established. A lot of challenges they had in the past was addressed. The only area that's most probably currently receiving quite a bit of attention from government, and where we're also looking at making some reforms to make it work better, is the agriculture grants, which could particularly the CAP or Comprehensive Agriculture Support Program grants. So that's the recommendation that makes alternative recommendations or indicate what they have recommended. And then with regard to the local government equitable share formula and the ongoing refinements, we do have a technical task team that looks at those issues. Some of the key issues that we do look at is also the costing of municipal services and how that can be defined.
Thanks, Chairperson. I'm going to start with Honourable De Beer's point on the municipality that he would like us to consider for support. Chairperson, under the new financial management improvement program, one of the new features is we've got a structure steering committee which provinces are part of the decision-making process. In the past, it was run by the National Treasury and we took the decisions. And we felt that that's not very helpful, and therefore I will take this matter via that structure, and the province is then conforming, so I'll certainly take that one forward. One of the recommendations and one of the decisions that we've managed to secure via the PCC, and here I must say the President and the Deputy President was very helpful, because part of this holding of the equal share was one of the recommendations is to try and tackle the cost of non-payment in our society. And I must say that was one of the key decisions that was taken at the forum, because if we continue on this path as a society and as our system, we won't be able to sustain the... So for me, that was a key decision that came out of the last PCC meeting that was held on the 12th of June. Chema, linked to that is the question of the proposal by the MSC of Finance in Gauteng. She has coincidentally presented that when this matter was also discussed at the budget forum and the budget council meeting, and when she shared the experience or the other provinces. Mm-hmm. Now, we think that's a very progressive stance that the NEC has taken, and we advocating, and we will make sure that all the provinces follow the same route. Now, legally, it's like it's a first pass on your revenue fund. In the national context, our debt is a first charge. So you can almost argue it's in the same spirit that you then secure what the province owes to municipalities. The difficulty where we sit is not constitutional for the Treasury to take a equal share and pay creditors on behalf of municipalities. That's something we will not explore because we don't think that will help the system going forward. But where the province sits and how they manage their finances and their own revenue fund, I think it's legally possible. And I can't quote a clause at this point in time, but there's nothing wrong with that motion. Now, we do know that all provinces have a committee that oversee municipal debt as a very extensive arm of what is advocated they should do. And coincidentally, in this withholding process, you will see KwaZulu-Natal and Western Cape was not in that process. So the question that the honourable member has raised about the numbers that KwaZulu-Natal Treasury, they've been very aggressive, both the COPTA department and the provincial treasury as a collective, to make sure the municipalities take these matters seriously. But Chairperson, one of the things that I've learned, all the numbers that you do see is generated by the national treasury. And what we perhaps should do is when we share our reports and our press release, when we publish the fourth quarter, is just to make sure that in that pack we share with you the national picture as well as the provincial picture, so that you can then over time see if somebody said they have made a payment, whether it's actually true. So I'm saying it's possible just to enrich our publication by adding a little bit more information. Chairperson, as far as the points about the investigation of the SARS money and pension, we've seen it in the early years with provinces as well, that there was a tendency not to pay over the payments to SARS and to pension, to the government pension fund. And as we have walked the journey with provinces and we've tightened up our monitoring and oversight responsibility, we managed to erode that as a ill completely in the system. I have managed to secure the funding then for the work that we've committed to do. Unfortunately, I must also go through the process like anybody else to secure funding, and then we will do the technical work, which we firmly believe is the right thing to do so that we know the pension liability in the municipal space, but also if there's a practice that they don't necessarily pay over. So once we've done that work, we will certainly come back to the committee and report progress from time to time. On the information part, Chairperson, for me, I also see that a lot of departments present to our parliamentary committees, and they don't acknowledge the source of this information. Now that's as if they've done the work. Not that the Treasury wants to claim that we're the only one that do real work, but I've seen it that people present and they don't acknowledge the source, and therefore they can very easily mislead this House. So I would argue that perhaps one must ask, where did you get this information? And what's your real contribution? Because otherwise they tell you the story that you would like to hear the committee. And I don't think that helps with oversight. Something like that, Honourable Minister. I also want to just touch very briefly in the demarcation process. And when it is correct, what we do is we normally advise municipalities from the budgeting system how to deal with this matter. But most municipalities or provinces, when there's a demarcation, they want to use the fiscus to pay for service delivery differences. And and I always explain that, and I know Wendy don't necessarily like the way I explain it, but a demarcation process is a zero-sum game. There was 100 devices before, after demarcation there's still 100. And in this context, this debt will not be paid for by the fiscus. So, and Wendy is correct, they must still go through the process to close their book. They are still liable for the debt. And therefore, you can't use a demarcation process to get rid of all your ills or management failures. So, Chairperson, that's something, and I think the sustainability of municipalities going forward is going to be critical, because if you merge two non-viable municipalities and you then think that you're going to have a positive result, it's not going to happen. And therefore, you're going to create more problems for yourself. Chairperson, I'll try again not to be controversial and create drama.
Okay, that's a good question.
What's the point?
Chairperson, sorry for
non-viable
Chairperson, we are saying the demarcation process is a zero-sum game. We cannot use that to get a fiscus to pay for civil delivery inequality. And that's what municipalities tend to do. They want us then to pay for their managerial failures. But what this committee perhaps should consider is when the demarcation process unfolds, is to make sure that you assist us where there's a non-viable municipality that's supposed to merge with a non-viable. So, and normally when you do signs, they say negative plus the negative give you a positive. In this case, it doesn't work. There's just no way that it's going to be a miracle. So, just sorry for creating problems with you. Chairperson, the best example I can use for an unfunded mandate that happened recently, Chair, and this is in Etiquini. Etiquini is not responsible for the housing function, but because they've agreed with the problems, Etiquini has used 4 billion rand of their reserves to build houses. Now the province has not honored that commitment, so they came to us to ask for help. And we said, all right, it's actually very simple. You give us the council resolution where the council agreed that they will do this on behalf of the province using your funding. Then you give us the...
Which council agreed? Your council or province?
Both. Because the provincial executive should have taken a resolution to say, I'm going to ask Etiquini to do this on their behalf. There's going to be a financial implication, hence I'll have to make a contribution. So then Etiquini complains and to say that the province does not want to honor that commitment because it was a political commitment. And we said to Etiquini, now in this case you know what's the rules of the game. You know that you're not supposed to spend your money in the provincial competency. And you should have even asked me to give you the funding before you've done the work. Now that you've put your own finances into risk, you cannot expect us to do something on your behalf. And we said we're not going to do it because they couldn't give us any of these documents. So it must have been a political caucus or... Exactly. So, Chairperson, so we said don't direct us into things like this if you can't give us evidence. So in this case, it has not defined it as quite severely. Because they generally a very well-run municipality, but to suddenly get 4 billion eroded because you wanted to be somebody else is not necessarily a wise decision to take. So Chair, I thought, let me just share that from the Rules Committee.
So that's my question.
I hope you are aware that you are not going to ask questions. You have no monopoly of... Let's allow Jan to respond first and stick the rules of the meeting. Keep quiet until he finishes and have his presentation for us. But I'm not going to allow you to disrupt
all my questions
out of order. I don't agree with you.
Well, will I get an opportunity after he speaks?
You know how meetings are.
No, I don't.
Really, I said that you provoked me to want to...
Educate me, sir.
No, allow himself.
Will I have an opportunity?
There's a follow-up to say, but you will indicate...
What will you say? Who's going to say?
You will indicate after.
Okay.
Very important.
I promise you I will indicate. Yeah. Absolutely.
Are you
Chairperson, as far as the EcoShare and the education associated with that, what we've learned from those meetings we've had with the 38 municipalities to date is, unfortunately, they use the EcoShare not for the right purpose. The EcoShare was meant to look after the poorest of the poor. What we've seen, what they, most of them are doing, is they don't pay their creditors. So if you consume 100 rand of electricity, then you're supposed to pay for that as you consume service. And that's linked to the argument about the not culture of payment. But what most of these municipalities do, they don't pay the creditors as a routine matter. They keep it till the actual shares have been released. So for me, that's a bad practice. The second thing that we've witnessed in 90% of the case, I would even say 99% of the case, the equitable share is funding or subsidizing the poor households in the municipality. If we look at the facts, then you will see that in not most cases that they can't give you the correct indigent information. So they will say now we're in the process to update our indigent register. So the question is, and then they will argue that the EcoShare is not sufficient to fund their operation. And we are saying, of the 38 municipalities that we've seen, not one could I give evidence that the EcoShare was not sufficient, because in most cases, the number of poor people the municipality all don't know, or the indigenous registers are outdated. So that's for me, as part of that educational process, how the formula works, but also the utilization of it, is something that perhaps we need to change going forward. Chairperson, as far as the MMs and CFOs that's vacant or not there for a considerable time, that's a big problem for us, because those are the two leadership positions. What we have done systematically as part of the criteria for a municipality to ask for rollovers and conditional roles, we've built in a criteria to say, if you don't have a CFO, do not come and ask for a rollover. Now, it caused a lot of problems in the system when we've communicated this in our budget circular, Chairperson. The first year, we didn't apply that rule very firmly, but going forward, we're going to systematically, if there's not a CFO, then it means taxpayers' money is not protected. And therefore, we as a treasury feel uncomfortable that there's nobody that really takes responsibility for the finances. Now, Chair, that's a step that we've taken. It's a bit of a controversial step, but I think we've given the signal, and as we apply the criteria, I think the more critical we do it, the better we'll get the change of behavior in the system. Chairperson, I think you've asked me... Yeah, it must be a permanent CFO. Sorry, Chair. As far as the Free State question is concerned, in Free State, our experience, and I think there's a bit of a political history here, and I know this is a bit of a sensitive issue, but in Free State, in the past, if there's a hard communication or a hard line of communication from the building, for instance, Salga would then say, no, we will intervene, don't worry, don't respond. That's, and I've got special information, but in this case, it was more a political issue that, and the point one of the honorable members has made, even the Popo, should you give the departments and the Premier's office more power to determine what you spend money on? We would argue exactly the opposite. Because the more you, and it depends how a province is configured and how the relations work, but if it's more centralized in some cases, then it can add value and it can bring a lot of efficiency in the system. At the same time, it can also have the desired, exactly the opposite effect. And hence, I would argue that we would rather help municipalities to improve their planning abilities, their budget abilities, but not necessarily let somebody else take the decisions on their behalf. Because you create a bad incentive, and the whole issue about grant dependency, the whole issue that you've been told what to do, is not necessarily, Chairperson, how you get the system to mature. Because we would like to see the system mature faster. And if you can keep on treating them in a particular way, then they behave in a particular way. So therefore, in the free state, there was a bit more of, and the one mayor said it directly to us, if the president don't tell him what to do, then who are you guys as the president to tell us what to do? Now, I know it's very difficult for me to raise political issues like that, but there's a tendency in the past. Now, what has radically changed here, because the new MEC for finance, I think she's found a way to work much more closer with the premiers. She's created structures where she gives them a voice and gets much more interaction. And in some of the other provinces, we also see that model has been replicated. So that's actually helping us quite a lot, so that the political part is managed politically and that the officials can get on with their work. I won't comment on that one. Chairperson, I think the issue that the honourable member has raised on financial management generally, this is very complex areas of work. For me, the local government reform, although we're in the 12th year of the implementation of the Act, but because the capacity challenges local government so severe, it's definitely going to take us a bit more time to get the system to mature. Now, what we are trying to do from a treasury is to replicate the model that we followed at the national provincial level. Firstly, help municipalities with planning, help them to put more meaningful budgets together, put in oversight mechanisms. So I've spent the last 8 years of my time to try and put a building block in place so that we can start providing yourself as oversight structures with information to play that role. The chair, generally speaking, this is a long journey, and over time we certainly hope that the system will mature. But with patience, unfortunately, anything in government is possible, but you have to, and what we have done from a targeting perspective, we have focused a lot of our time and energy on the 70 big municipalities that we are directly responsible for. And we've institutionalized processes. For instance, twice a year we engage with them formally. Firstly, before they table their budgets, we assess their budgets in detail and we give them hard recommendations. In some cases, we even propose that they can redo their budgets. Then we have the mid-year engagement where we see the performance, and we are trying to replicate those practices, chairperson, to all the other provincial treasuries so that we uplift the whole system. But unfortunately, these things do take time. And when you select the SCOA project, I have shared with Honourable Beer some of the old processes, but it's a classification system. So all we're busy doing is, on the one hand, to fix the budget problem, but also the quality of information that we use to make decisions for resource allocation, as well as how you manage generally the affairs of municipalities. But Chair, on these topics, we can perhaps at another occasion on a very specific matter take the committee through the concrete steps that we've taken, because it seems very academic the way I explain it, but you know, you need to institutionalize these practices so that people understand what you're doing and why you're doing it and what's the benefit. Chair, I'll stop there.
And John, I think we'd agree with you that some of the issues, a series of engagements will have to ensue. Very useful information that came up that will also start using even on our oversight.
Yeah.
As we are pushing this pending oversight, I think we should use the quality of information that is available. And we should not plagiarize. I think we need to acknowledge the source in making disengagement, as you said. What you said, I think, sums up that there's a need for further engaging on this issue so that you elaborate adequately. So I think members agree with that. But I will not deny you if you've got short comments after the presentation. You are covered. You are okay. Mr. Lynn.
Thanks, Chairperson. My concern now is I just want to suggest to say, you see, now we've got municipalities that have been incorporated into other municipalities which are making. And I read one article, I think this week. You see, politicians are gunning for those ones there. Because you see, they're only merging, and then they are disestablishing those that are currently there. And with those needles that are there, you will find that they are actually being spent, and no one will account at the end, because they are being phased out this current year. I don't know what best can, you know, this committee do or yourself assist in terms of this, because already a tender has been given in one of the municipalities for about 120 million for the existing municipality which is being incorporated into another. So I don't know what sort of measure can we do to make sure that these monies are fixed. Are you necessarily not going to make sure that maybe you at least look at them with an eye of a hawk to say, let us know how much currently have you got? Especially if you get the list of those responses that have been incorporated, then we have them in place. You also know exactly what are those monies being spent for. Because it's for the reason why I said in one of the responses, I may not mention the name, but when we go to our debate, because we'll be debating these issues, whereby 106 million is not being accounted for. And it's one of the municipalities which is, you know, being incorporated into another to form a new institution. So it's a serious, it's a major for serious concern. Thank you so much, Chairperson.
Thanks,
Shah.
Thank you, Chair.
It will be accounted for because the Auditor General will pick it up in the financial statement. It's going to reach you somewhere. So I just want to clarify that. Chair, there's a very important point you made on what Mr. Hatem said, that we take another session, I want to call it training, and have more time, say a day, with the Treasury, etc., let me sit, and we empower ourselves to look deeper into issues, to sharpen us. Very important point that we can accommodate in our committee's program. Share another very important point that Mr. Hartling made. It's the example of Gauteng and President creating a fiscal space. You create a fiscal space by either cutting on expenditure that's not necessary, or you collect debt that's owed to the municipality. It's not going to fall from heaven. So that principle must be applied by the provinces. And that's what we can take further, Chairperson. Thirdly, the memorandum of agreement between the National Treasury and the National COCTA Department. It was mentioned on the 29th of September 2014 in the Budget Council meeting. Actually, Budget Forum last night. And this has to be implemented in provinces to get that closer cooperation. And I think we must lose this and see what is happening in the provinces. How far is this MOA being signed? Declaring to the assistance that both departments are giving to municipalities, that they work closer together. We picked it up now in the provincial week. There's a serious need for this closer cooperation. Thank you, sir.
Thanks, sir. Honorable Conley.
Chairperson, I want to ask if any research was done by National Treasury, and I'm looking you deep in the eye, whether any research was done in terms of the amalgamations or the demarcation process now on the table, that's now pending for finalization by the Department of National Treasury.
Thanks. Well, I don't know, maybe it's to, by way of, I came across the demarcation in the province, and interestingly, when they explained the legal stipulations prior to elections, prior to elections, there are certain legal requirements that give rise to this discussion on the demarcation processes. But I think the question stands in terms of the other part. I know that earlier on, because Mr. Jan raised the issue that they made a recommendation that the committee must keep a closer look as the process unfolds. I think that was a useful issue. My interest is not the question now, but I think moving forward we'll have to deal with this where there are issues of maybe blockages, where money have to be transferred from either it's the national department, either it's water department. You find the municipality saying that the pronouncement on the bulk to be provided, but the problem resides either with the all the issues that you raise with the, I think it will be our interest. I think we'll have to focus more also on issues that facilitate that basic service delivery must take place, especially where allocations have been made. So that there's always issues between municipality, COPTA, and this water board. Is it water board? But yeah, water board. In a way, we find that it's, let's say, Free State is with water or decentes, and there are some of the issues. I think we need to come closer into that space. But thanks, if you make your comment, I think the suggestion then that we may have to provide information in much more facilitate deeper understanding on ourselves. I think how you respond on the issue of equitable share, for instance, is very useful, but it's a different matter. Even provinces, municipalities are always fighting to increase numbers just to get more allocation, but you need to find and understand what is it that you are solving.
Thanks. Looks like we're nominating ladies first. And the majority of questions were actually raised at Young. But with regard to whether National Trust has done any work on the proposed demarcations, when the demarcation board, there is a number of demarcations that's been considered. What we've done is, currently we're just waiting for ministers to sign off for reports to go to the municipal demarcation board. So we've taken each of those proposals to put forward and we've analysed it from a financial perspective. It's been called the demarcation board then to take it into consideration as part of their consideration. But maybe just to give a broad analysis of what has come out, is that it's actually very difficult to justify that from a financial perspective. So keep in mind other considerations as well, improved service delivery, better community alignment and things like that that fall out of our mandate. So from a financial perspective, there's very little cases that you can really prove that putting a municipality together would actually, put them in a better financial position. And in most cases, even if there's a slight financial benefit, the disruption that it causes municipalities to be demarcated, it should also be taken into consideration. For example, what Jan and his team have determined is that every time there's a demarcation, it takes the municipality at least 2 years to define the city and to be fully functional again. So we've given our input to the demarcation board. So, but like I say, we just look at it from a financial perspective. And then maybe another point that I can stress as well that's quite important to consider, maybe just from a grant perspective, and particularly from a local government equitable share perspective, when the local government equitable share formula was reviewed, one of the things that the review took quite seriously is how can the formula be structured in such a way that it basically takes into account that certain municipalities are very small, and because of that, they face certain specific challenges because they are small. So the specific allocations that made available to the local government equitable share to a small municipality actually pushes us
the community component of the allocations. And also through the municipal infrastructure grant formula, there's a minimum 5 million allocation that every municipality receives, despite what formula then allocates. So it is not that you can take all the grants together and you'll get the same amount. It could actually mean if a municipality becomes bigger, that the special provisions that a small municipality gets will actually fall away and she can actually get less grant funding. So here from here in the fact that 1 plus 1 is not equal to 2, 1 plus 1 could actually be equal to 0. So that is some of the things that, that should actually be considered. Which reported us in the team of eight.
Chairperson, I'll just comment on the two other points. The issue about focusing more on the municipalities leading to the demarcation, and I think Honourable De Beer is correct. The system has been designed to safeguard, so the reporting will still be the same, the financial statements will still be the same, but nothing's for us to pay special attention as to this committee has requested that, just to make sure that, you know, we avoid the element where people then lose control and they do funny things. So we can simply, no, unfortunately it happens leading up to election that the officials' behavior changes because they're protecting the jobs instead of the integrity of the system. So see, I think we've gone through sufficient elections to see how the behavior then changes and then the difficulty that you have thereafter to fix the system, but we will certainly then consider that. The provinces, chairs, also ask us in those municipalities where there is demarcation that there's a lot of other technical preparation work that needs to be done. So in this committee that I have referred to, where provinces now are part of the decision making, we've agreed at the next meeting, because we would like when these teams to present to them the work that has been done by the in leading or the input to the demarcation hall. Because when we then do take a decision to put technical experts in those municipalities and those provinces, that they and know exactly what is the framework within which they operate. Chairperson, then as far as the agreement and the relationship between us and COPTA, if I'm not mistaken, it's all today, tomorrow, on the world here that the two director generals of the two departments is going to meet. I'm not sure if it's going to take place to formally sign the MOU between the two national departments. We've gone through the technical work, we've engaged each other, and if we're at the point where I think that MOU will be signed. Now, what I can report in two provinces, in Mpumalanga and in Free State, the EXCO has already decided, and the two MECs took it to EXCO, but the EXCO has decided that the function on finances is now solely the responsibility of the finance team, and the officials has already been moved. So they actually ahead of us at the national level, if I can put it this way. So Mpumalanga, the officials already moved, and when we had our DCF report last week, the Free State has reported that the Executive Council took the same resolution. That will certainly, in the future, eliminate this duplication of us operating the space, and that there's more complementarity that's required in how we then engage municipalities and then provide meaningful support going forward. Thanks, Chair.
Thank you very much.
Thanks, Wendy, for the presentation. We will advise in terms of our program so that we allow you space to structure and have this in-depth discussion on these matters that we have. Yes, thanks very much. We have our first oversight to KwaZulu-Natal, and the second will be Limpopo. So specifically, we'll deal with those issues. I think our process of preparations are far advanced in terms of the case at hand, because it's mid August. I think that we'll have to go to the village. It's on the item here. Thanks very much. We'll go to the stage of the committee meeting where we discuss news and updates on other program on committee. So, and I will allow the secretary to say which set of minutes are we proceeding to. Are we considering?
the date stated in the minutes of the of Thursday, 25th of June, when the committee was adopting reports on ESCOM bill.
On the ESCOM bill, you are all present as members. The indication you agree. What is outstanding on the ESCOM bill is, it's not related, but what is outstanding that the minister will brief us on the, we are awaiting the date where the minister will brief us on the out, what is it, the transfer of assets. Yeah. Yeah, that is an outstanding matter, so we working with the office of the minister to just get the minister to come as a recommendation of the constitution. Thanks. On the minutes are okay, but I need somebody to say that they are okay and we approve them. So that there is no dictatorship, we are not saying certain end.
I've moved for adoption.
Yeah, okay. Is that what I'm saying? Well, okay. Okay, Mr. Hunt. Thanks. Okay, the then update. Honorable Week.
Okay, I think
going or the program is in.
As far as I know, the program is still ongoing. We are going. We received. The schedule of the visits. There's also a breakdown of the background information that was related to members. The research and every, so that's to guide members in line with what we have to do, what we are going to do on the visit. We want to leave on, or not leave, sorry, arrive in Durban on, KZN on Sunday. So that we start our oversight from Monday until Thursday, so that Friday we can all depart back. So that will give everybody who needs to take connecting flights, because KZN to, for instance, Limpopo or Northern Cape, will have to have connecting flights. But we were given a consolidated program with the two finance and appropriations committee. So we'll travel, our traveling day is Sunday, and we'll start with finance committee on Monday. The finance committee work will deal with the water supply project, water treatment project, and agro value center project. In the background document that was circulated yesterday, I think, yesterday or the day before, it explains the project expenditure, the grant that is funding it, how far the project is and what it is that we are going to do in terms of oversight. Okay. So that will be the whole day, including the meeting with the district municipality. It's in Kamiakude, district municipality. On Monday we'll then need to go to Richards Bay. On Tuesday, the Select Committee of Operations will have its meetings and oversight visits in Richards Bay and looking at the health revitalization grant, the school infrastructure and the municipal infrastructure grant. And they are listed in our program. Also in the document explains the spending, the budget, and what it is that we are going to look at. On Wednesday, the Select Committee of Finance will focus. It's the Richards Bay Industrial Development Zone. It's one of the IDZs. And then from 11 until 1, we will travel to Durban, where we will go and look at the trade port, the human settlements project. It's an integrated human settlements project. And there's a local economic development project in Gizra, in Shela. Now I'm saying that correctly. On Thursday, we'll go. Select Committee on Appropriations will focus on national health insurance grant. It's Irindale Hospital project. It's a pilot. So that's one of the two hospitals that is behind the group. We're going to the Edendale Hospital. There's a new grant spending on the road project. Hospital revitalization grant, also on a hospital, also in the hospital, and the education infrastructure grant. So that Thursday will be the appropriations focus. On Friday we'll then leave, depending on where we are going to for collecting sites and that sort of thing. The committees have provided us with the background information. It's in line with our stress plan that we've agreed to, in line with what it is that the appropriations committees must look at. We've also asked that they look at, in the past approximately 3 years, of other oversights that have taken place in the same area, so that we don't, number one, duplicate, or that we use those reports to guide us in terms of what we are going to do. So there's, because we know that we're constantly doing oversight, there's provincial weeks of KZN and that sort of thing, so that there are no clash. And we've used the past 3 years as a guide, so that we don't go back, for instance, where KZN delegation was 2 weeks ago. And then other reports in relation to previous oversight visits, and it's all captured in the background research. I think what members can do is between today and Thursday, if there's any other additional information that they want based on where we are visiting and what they provided, let's speak to the two committee secretaries so that the research unit content and content advisors can assist us, so that before, by Friday, if there's any other additional information that we need as a committee, we can be provided with it, and it can assist us in terms of our oversight, because we don't have anybody from KZN in our committee. We don't have anybody from KZN in our committee, and I think we're the only committee that's going to KZN, others are going to Northwest. Thanks, Chair.
Thanks very much, Mutara. I think, members, this is part of the package for this meeting. Let us read and internalize it, and then raise any comment as such as that. Honorable Gia?
Yes, just one thing about the distance. When we travel, the distance we travel, that is in relation to the time. Very important point. Otherwise, we're going to rush through the day. On the first, the Sunday, travel to Mkuze and check the rest is at the town hall.
Mutara, where is Mkuze?
I'd like to know
what they've done is advocate cow and deep visits. So they have worked out the travel distance between one site to the next site and distance. So as I was saying, none of us are from KZN, they did the pre-visits. They have taken into consideration exactly what you say, the travel and time between two site projects and from one area to the next.
Okay. So that concerns us, so that we don't travel 8 hours into
the day. Say, the Sunday one is a 4-hour drive, Chair. The Sunday one. We are starting over there, then coming back as we proceed with our days. But the first one is 4-hour drive, Chair. This Sunday, from the airport. Yes, Chair.
Alright, fine. No other questions. Any other thing will clarify the technical team, you are free to clarify any member about the details on the program. Fundi, you know Keith at there? Okay, alright. Then let me give to Pawan.
There is a request that comes from the Portfolio Committee on Health. They are interested to join the committee when it conducts the oversight on the health grant.
Okay. Obviously, if health gives us they'll send us the notice and we reply to them for so that we treat the program much more formally. Yes.
Yeah.
Alright. They must not say we have asked them to join us. They must say they are joining us. Good. Okay.
Thank you very much. The meeting is adjourned.
I don't know.